Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve, and God is in the miracle working business. Yes, He is. Well, we have been continuing on in a series I've entitled Afflictions in the Life of Christians. You know, it's really important we understand from the Word what God's Word has to say about the trials and troubles we go through. If we're not aware of what God intends to produce through the hard times that we go through, He just, you know, if someone is blessed and prospered continually, they never have any troubles or battles. You know, there was an old song we used to sing, if I never had a problem, I wouldn't know that God could solve them. I wouldn't know what faith in God can do. What was it? Through it all. I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Amen. And so just as God has purposes in terms of, you know, testing us, He tested the resolve, the integrity of Abraham in terms of would he continue to believe God, even at that last moment when he would have plunged the knife, he was ready to do it. And God saw his heart. God is always looking at our heart. He's looking at our motivation. Why do we serve God? Is it because we really love Him? Or is it just because of the blessings and benefits? You know, when we look closely at what Satan said to God in that first chapter when he came before the Lord, he attacked Job's motivation. He suggested that Job reverence and serve God because of all of his blessings. And then there was a subtle attack on God himself, because the accuser's implying that love and loyalty can always be bought. So he said, just take away everything he's got and then see what he does. Well, he was allowed to do that. His testings were permitted by the Lord. He's permitted to test Job by, number one, inflicting the loss of his children and property. We see that in that first chapter, verses 12 to 20. I'm not going to read them again. I did yesterday. And he still retains his integrity in verses 21 and 22, he said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. That's true of all of us. We came into the world with nothing, and we will depart, if the Lord tarry, with nothing except the works that we have done and the life that we have sown for the Lord. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. That's what Job commented. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And the comment is, in all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. However, that wasn't enough for Satan. He was defeated because Job didn't do what he thought he was going to do. Yeah? Don't you just love to turn it back on the devil? Yeah. Okay, so let me read Job, the second chapter, verses 9 and 10. The devil is allowed to afflict Job physically. And in verses 9 and 10, then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. But he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? In all this, did not Job sin with his lips? All right, so he was afflicted physically. And in all of this, Job did not sin with his lips. So obviously, which was the temperament, the mentality of the times, Job's wife concluded that he was suffering because God was unfair, which is sometimes a popular explanation for suffering, but it's totally contrary to the character of God. That's, you know, so often the unsavable wife, God, there's a God, why does he allow so much suffering in the earth? Well, it's the devil that has brought that. It's the sin of man. God has provided redemption and a way of escape from this present evil world. And those who are alive and remain still in it, they will be given God's grace, God's strength, His deliverance, and He will use them to be able to preach the gospel. That great commission, that command has never ceased. He said, go into all the nations and preach the good news of the gospel. So Job asks the question in Job 3:20. And of course, he doesn't feel he's done anything. He has no clue. That's why I said Job's one of my heroes. He has no clue what is going on in the courts of heaven. He said, why is light given to him that is in misery, and life to the bitter in soul? And of course, bitter in soul describes Job during the days following his affliction. He's aware, he's conscious that he hasn't committed some great sin, and he can't understand the reason for his sufferings. And he has refused adamantly to curse God in his distress, but he does question the reason for his trials. And then, as you know, the majority of the book, if you've read it, three friends arrive to comfort Job. They're known as Job's comforters. Let me read that in verses 11 through 13. Now, when Job's three friends heard of all this evil that was come upon him, they came every one from his own place. Eliphaz the Temanite, Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite, for they made an appointment together to come to mourn with him and to comfort him. They had a right motive. And when they lifted up their eyes afar off and knew him not, they lifted up their voice and wept. Obviously, they had been in relationship with him. They rent every one his mantle and sprinkled dust upon their heads toward heaven. So they sat down with him upon the ground 7 days and seven nights, and none spake a word unto him, for they saw that his grief was very great. Praise God. Up to this point, they were doing good. They, you know, sometimes, especially if you're attending a funeral of someone, a friend, a relative, or someone you know, that sometimes words are very difficult. Sometimes just your presence, the press of a hand, an embrace, can say more than words. Sometimes we feel very awkward. We want to be able to say things. But sometimes just appreciating the measure of their grief, respecting their grief, is enough to bring comfort to their heart. You don't always have to use words. That reminds me of a saying I've said from time to time, preach the gospel, and if you have to, use words. So there's many ways we can preach the gospel, beloved. And obviously, they were friends, but they spend 7 days in silent sympathy. I'll get it straight. They were friends, but in what follows, we see an illustration of the limitations and inadequacy of human understanding and friendship. There's only one beloved who truly knows and understands you, and that's your Heavenly Father and Jesus and the Holy Spirit. They're three in one. We may not understand that mystery, but beloved, it's true. Three persons in the Trinity, each playing their part, their role. All right, so what goes on following? Well, in chapters 4 to 31, there are a record of rather long and rather fruitless discussions between Job and his friends concerning his afflictions. You see, they're going to analyze it out. Once they, you know, express sympathy, they are, by being silent, then they are ready to offer remedies. And so they believe, and a lot of people do, that suffering is the result of personal sin. Job obviously was not sinless. There was only one sinless human being, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ, very God and very man. But he couldn't be charged with any moral failure by his fellow man. And from the human point of view, he was without blame. So, I mean, he's being attacked, so what does he do? Job defends himself and asserts his innocence. He speaks out of great physical and mental anguish. Remember, the enemy put boils on him. He was miserable. He'd sit on the ash heap and scrape his boils. The dogs would come and lick his boils, his wounds. And can you imagine? I don't know exactly what the physical condition was, but enough to know, for our sakes, that it was miserable. He was miserable. And, you know, his own basic presupposition, which of course was the mentality of that time, that God always blesses the righteous and afflicts the wicked, has apparently proven faulty. This is one of the great lessons of the book of Job. If bad things happen, that's why we can't judge. Only God knows. God alone judges the heart, the actions. He knows every hair on our head. So we can't judge because someone who is a Christian, perhaps, has gone through some terrible trials and sufferings. And he thinks of every possible reason. Well, I have to turn over to chapter 10, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 7. My soul is weary of life. I will leave my complainant to myself. He can't talk to his friends. I will speak in the bitterness of my soul. I will say unto God, do not condemn me. Shew me wherefore thou contendest with me. Why are you doing this, God? Is it good unto thee that thou shouldest oppress, that thou shouldest despise the work of thine hands and shine upon the counsel of the wicked? Hast thou eyes of flesh, or seest thou as a man seest? Are thy days as the days of a man? Are thy years as man's days? Thou that inquirest after mine iniquity and searchest after my sin, thou knowest that I'm not wicked, and there is none that can deliver out of thine hand. That was Job's statement. Well, beloved, there's more to share. This is exciting. Do you find it exciting? I'm just thoroughly enjoying this. And because it gives us answers. It gives us what to do when everything's collapsing around us. And this is the word of the Lord. I thank you for joining me. I invite you to write. The announcer will give our contact information. I can't spend much time on emails, but if you share your mailing address, I would love to respond to you. And I know you'll be blessed by whatever God gives. Thank you for joining me. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours. This is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.